You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, 7:07 and a half on the Wake Up Tucson show. 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. We are, of course, eating our breakfast of champions.
Eating our lives away. Oh, my gosh, what a morning.
I can't think of a better guy to end Italian Heritage Week than Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago. Good morning, sir. Hold on. Ed, let's give him a microphone so I can...
I'm on mic 7.
I thought you were over here. I'm sorry.
Yeah, over there.
Let's do this again. I can't think of a better guy to finish off Italian Heritage Week than Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago. Rocco, good morning.
Good morning, everyone. Hey, do I get a hair metal song, too?
Yeah, yes, sure. Okay. What's your request?
The Japanese band Loudness.
I remember Loudness.
I think it's Turn Up the Radio is their jam, right?
Coming up next.
No, that's Autograph.
I'm mixing them up.
Right.
Crazy, 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 crazy nights.
Loudness. There he goes.
Coming up for you on the way out.
Well, let's play the opening of it right now, just so I get a feel for this.
For the album, Thunder in the East.
Yeah, see?
They're like between Rat and Kiss. Look at these guys.
Right. And Louderness.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I had a guy that I went to school with back in New York. Mm-hmm. His name was Kenji Tamaya.
Okay.
And Kenji
Loudness fan.
Loudness shirts.
Right.
He had to
represent.
He did. He had the cutoff sleeves.
Yeah.
He did it up. So that's a great throwback.
Excellent.
There. Very good, Rocco. It's one of the reasons he's one of our favorites, just not the culinary side. It's the Renaissance man on his Japanese hair metal.
I think I've exhausted the Japanese hair metal possibilities in my repertoire at this time.
We haven't gotten to Triumph yet. That's a whole other...
Triumph is awesome. Triumph is more like a Zeppelin kind of band than anything.
And of course, what was great about Triumph is no one knew what the hell a Triumph was if there was no MTV.
That's true.
You know, yeah. Because they were really kind of underground, then all of a sudden...
Yeah, they're Canadian, so...
Oh,
yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
So, another one. Glass Tiger, Rush, Neil Young, William Shatner, all the bests.
All the Canadians.
So you have a little bit of announcement you'd like to tell everybody.
Yeah, as of Monday, not only are we changing our hours from noon till 9 p.m. instead of 8 p.m.
Look at you.
We're going to open for limited dine-in as well. So, reservations are humbly requested from all of our guests.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So call 321-1860. That's 321.
That feels so un-Rocco.
1860.
Reservations.
I know. It's ridiculous. Well, like, you know.
We only have so much room, right?
We only have so much room, and there's going to be a pent-up demand.
Yes.
People have been calling us for this for a long time. It's like, dude, you just can't walk in. There's not going to be a lot of room. And, you know, nobody's going to want to, like, congregate in a giant line around the construction area. So there you go.
So you've got a maitre d' now in the whole thing.
We have bouncers and everything.
So Max the intern was in from Colorado.
Yeah.
And he stopped by your place.
Oh yeah. He asked if we were doing dining. I'm like, not yet, bro. Sorry.
So I'm in Pine Top, right?
Right.
And he calls me, he goes, "What the hell, dude?" And I go, "What do you mean? What's with Broadway?"
Yeah, it's disconcerting, I would have to say. I drive down Broadway, since I live on Broadway, I live a block south of Broadway, still on the, you know, wall of death zone.
What's the wall of death zone?
That's you know, the concrete wall that's 2 miles long right now, you know? So, yeah.
Is there a timing for this to be...
Chris, I don't listen to anything they sell me anymore.
And when it's done, how good is that going to be?
Right.
I mean, who cares?
I just go out there and, like, cheer the guys on every day. It's like, hurry up!
You guys are doing great out there.
Look at your watch.
Come on!
Keep up the good work.
Yeah. Tentatively, maybe a year from now or so, but who knows,
God.
Dude. Well, the thing is, they're putting that giant, like, 13-foot... concrete tube down the entire length of the street for drainage purposes. So
it better never, ever,
I see that coming closer, but not close yet. They did do the entire west half of the project already. The stuff by my house. All that stuff has the big culvert thing in already.
Okay.
They've done half of it.
So you're what's enabling you a little bit to expand out and go into the dining world to make it worth your while?
Because
that was the other problem, right? If you just did it at your inside level, you'd have, you know, two or three tables.
Yeah.
But you're gonna tent it up, too.
Yeah, we got a – I grabbed a tent from Sam over at Mama's Hawaiian. He has giant storehouses full of equipment.
He does.
So I was like, hey, can I get a tent? He's like, just meet me over there in 20 minutes. All right. So, yeah, we have a pop-up tent we're going to throw just north of our patio. So we have another, like, you know, big party table out there. So.
Oh, very, very good.
Yeah.
And then you said you upgraded your patio.
Yeah. Instead of the rusting steel bars that looked like they were from a Soviet-era prison, we have lovely green-painted pierced screens that let the light in, but let the breezes flow.
How's your plants doing out there?
They're doing great. Yeah, it looks lovely.
It's a Monty Don BBC Gardener's World special out there.
Yeah, man. It's like the friendly confines of Wrigley Field at this time.
that's that bad. So go to roccoslittlechicago.com to find out more. Well, can you do one more segment?
Yeah, I could stick around.
I'd like to talk to you about these. There was a little bit of a hubbub last week or so when it was about how much these delivery people charge.
Uh-huh.
I want to talk to you about that because I know you have your own.
I have strong opinions about this, Chris.
Rocco.
Why we're here.
Rocco's Little Chicago, Christy, Simone, and Alexander. Here we go. Oh, my God.
This is from the Monsters of Rock Cruise.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Loudness Live.
If only we were there.
I know. It's a guy's party. I can't help it, man. We're in our man cave this morning with Rocco, and this is... You wish you were here. I'm telling you.
7:20 in the morning, hanging out with Rocco from Rocco's Little Chicago. It's so weird. We were just saying that you went to go see Rat,
yeah,
and they replaced the rhythm guitarist with the guy from...
Quiet Riot!
And then here comes Ed.
And also tie in with the Van Halen memorial from Eddie's passing. The second best band in L.A. back in the day was, like, it was always Van Halen.
Right.
And the second best band was when Randy Rhoads was in Quiet Riot. That was the jam. Like, they were always, like, you know, trying to one-up each other.
So did Randy just leave to go to Ozzy? Is that what happened?
Exactly.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It wasn't like Quiet Riot got rid of him.
No, not at all. That's not what happened.
Frankie Benali, who's he play for? Is that Quiet Riot? I feel like that's Quiet Riot. That's going to come back to me. I'll figure it out. Frankie Benali.
Okay.
All right. So the city of Tucson passed an ordinance to limit the amount of, quote, money that a delivery company can charge a restaurant.
Sure.
Right? And for me, I understand that they might be out of hand a little bit with their fees. I'm not a big guy on government artificial price controls.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was following your arguments, and yeah, I totally understand them. I just don't want anything to do with those companies because of their rapacious business practices. Even 15% is my profit margin. You know, like a successful pizzeria or restaurant, their profit like runs under 10% for the year.
Right.
You know, that's what they clear.
Explain what happens. So when someone orders a DoorDash,
right,
and they get a, you know, they get a pizza and a dozen wings from Rocco, how does the money side of this work?
There's a couple of things. Like if I have not at all engaged with DoorDash and they have me on their website, which happened, it was with Postmates, but the same thing.
Right.
They had their own prices they were charging my customers.
Right.
So, and that's where that 30% was, you know. I was getting the same amount of money, but my customers were getting jacked and were getting poor customer service. And the DoorDash people would come in and take like a foot and a half of napkins and 20 forks and then get a refill on their drink and then just blaze, you know?
Right.
And then who knows when my food or if my food's going to get to the customers.
Right.
Businesses, so a lot of my friends even have been successful in negotiating contracts with these guys where, you know, they'll only get a certain percent, like 15 or whatever. And they're, you know, they've pulled them through in this era of like places that haven't had any delivery because, you know, even though we deliver and stuff, I know I could probably sell more deliveries because you know what people want to do? They want to open their phone and be like, mash the DoorDash button. Rocco's. That's just how people are, man. And there's a lot, like my kids, like all of a sudden, like, you know, Popeyes will show up at my house. And I know damn well they didn't call on the phone. They just smashed their little finger into the button, you know?
Right.
So, you know, I just chose not to engage with that because I know the profit goes out of town. I know that all these none of these companies have ever posted a profit. It's like Lyft and Uber, where none of them have ever posted a profit. All the money is going to their CEOs, and the drivers really don't make a good wage either, you know?
So one of the drivers commented on the thread I had going on Facebook, and he said basically that because he gets to choose which restaurants he delivers from.
Yeah.
So what happens is he says that if you now all of a sudden if you're going to artificially, because the city said you can't charge more than 15% on anything that's a restaurant that has five or less locations.
Sure.
Right? Because they're saying we're here to protect the little restaurateur. But what he's saying is, so now what you're going to do, if you're going to force those to 15, I'll just not deliver to them because he doesn't make his money.
Right,
so at that point, doesn't that hurt the restaurant? Because now half the DoorDash guys are saying, well, I'm not going to deliver from, you know, Tony's Italian Spaghetti Palace.
Absolutely. But, you know, everybody's making their market choices somehow.
Right.
You know, and the people who are going to order from, you know, Popeyes for delivery may not be the same people who would order from Tony. So you know, it's six of one, half dozen of the other. Should we have done this ordinance or whatever? You know what? Since I'm not in the game, I really feel like I don't have any skin in it. But screw those guys for rooking people that don't want to leave their house during a pandemic for 30%. Plus, none of it stays in state. Plus, they're screwing their drivers. Like, I pay my drivers, you know, they have sick time, they have overtime, et cetera.
Or their drivers tips. Are contractors.
Their other drivers are independent contractors like Uber and Lyft. I mean, they're choosing to do this, but how much of it is a choice and how much of it is a necessity to pay their car payments?
So what's the solution here? Is there a solution?
Well, I don't know. And these companies are not going away. We're going to have to live with them because what all of them are banking on is that one of them is going to be the last man standing. That's why they're undercutting each other like this. You know, it's like the mattress firm thing.
So
they're all trying to be like Uber Eats will be the only Uber thing, the only, you know, delivery thing. And then they can set the price.
So I'm a hotel guy. And I remember post 9/11 was the rise of the hotels.com and price lines.
Sure.
Cause they thought they kind of had you by the you know what's and they could undercut and they could pad in 30 or 40%
sure.
on a hotel room.
Yeah.
Right. And the response that I saw from the Marriotts and the Hiltons was we are going to set our own rates that are just as good or better than them in a way that I don't have to kick money to them.
Right.
Right. And at the same time, we're going to market the fact that if you come directly to us, it's the best rate.
Right.
If you're going to get you're going to get the best quality food and the best, you know, price on the for the thing.
Right.
Right. Of course, the problem with that is. That takes money.
It's a race to the bottom.
Right.
Yeah. And the restaurant margin is so low that this money is just coming out of the consumers, basically, you know. And it's screwing the restaurants to make even less money when a lot of them, as we have seen with Pocacosa, et cetera, are having a hard time just keeping their doors open. So.
And for me, we've always heard in politics the slippery slope.
Yeah.
Right. And my thing is, what else does the city council feel is unfair that they're going to put artificial price to crows on that? And that's the part that scares
me. Stick around and find out.
Thank you very much.
Right. I do have to say that I have some friends who are starting things like ghost kitchens out of their underused restaurants that are already restaurants that are not filling up, you know, and they have like a separate tiny menu that's just on Postmates or whatever, DoorDash, and they're doing okay. Like these are revenue generators.
Right.
And that's what the trend is for ghost kitchens and stuff like that. If anybody doesn't know what a ghost kitchen is, it's a kitchen that you only get takeout and delivery, or you only get delivery from. Like, you don't even know where it is. It could be around back somewhere. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to do a ghost kitchen one day?
Out of my restaurant?
Well,
it's too small.
Anything going on with your other restaurant?
Rio Nuevo has not chosen to put us on the books. Like, both us and Lurua's were supposed to bookend that mall down the street.
Yeah.
We're both off the books now. We've been off since like June or something like that.
Sure.
All of their funds are going to their like 12 to 20 story building downtown that don't have any tenants. So, you know, they had two tenants in this one tiny strip mall.
Right.
Like, guaranteed. We were both ready to sign on this.
You had the plans done, everything.
Yeah, I have the plans sitting in my shed right now.
Jeez.
But the reality is, I'm really happy I'm not paying for three times the square footage right now.
Amen.
Because, you know, I don't know where that money's going to come from, so...
Well, Rocco, thanks for everything. We always appreciate your... The discussion about the Postmates stuff is... It's
an interesting thing, and you know, history is going to shake it down eventually. There, you know, it will come to some sort of a messy conclusion.
All right, so two changes you have to remember. Rocco's is now open from 12 to 9 every day.
Yes. Yeah.
He has outdoor seating now, so you can now eat and dine in, out-ish at Rocco's.
Yeah.
And he would love for you, if you can, to request a reservation.
Yeah, starting at noon today, we're taking reservations for Monday.
Is that online or on telephone?
Only on telephone. So we have the master book.
All right. Rocco's Little Chicago.com. If I told him 10 years ago, you know, you're going to have a restaurant, you're going to take reservations, you would have said, hells no.
Thank you, sir.
Mom Montgomery coming up next. McCluskey at the top of the hour. Wake up.
The final countdown.
It's so true, right? We're getting there.
Yeah. When?
We're getting
there. Oh, man.
Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. You did your Frankie Benali research for me, right?
Yeah, Frankie was quite right, Strummer.
Oh, okay, and he passed away.
Passed, I believe, yes.
I see Phil was just... Tell
Phil would know.
Absolutely. Phil was all excited about the loudness guy, so that's awesome. 790-2040 is the phone number. Sean McCluskey coming up at the top of the hour. One birthday I want to get out today. It's Mrs. Buckmaster's birthday today.
It is. Happy birthday, Ann. So, happy birthday.
And so happy birthday to Mrs. Buckmaster. She is one of the nicest people I've ever talked to. Mm, so
sweet.
Bill's pretty nice, too. Not as nice, Bill. Don't get cocky.
It's Global Cat Day. Just saying. You're welcome. There you go. Ha, ha. Popped his bubble. There you go.
All right, I'm walking off the show right now. Hey, let's go to the phones. Mom Montgomery is running for Legislative District 10. Did I get
10.
That? Yes! And Ma Bell, welcome back. I knew it was right on the tip of my tongue. I got it right, though. Good morning and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me. Good morning. It's a beautiful morning in Arizona compared to all other places.
It is.
So what? So how are you feeling out there now that you're there? How are you feeling about this race?
Actually, I'm feeling really good about it. A lot of progress is made, and all my signs are out. Campaign's running great, and I've got a newspaper going out that should be in the voters' hands this weekend at the latest Monday. So it's going good. I got good response.
Now, tell me about an encounter you had with a voter that makes you feel really good about your chances in this race. That you say, man, you feel like there's that maybe momentum out there. What is that?
Well, I've had encounters in stores, let's just say, you know, not even just knocking on the doors, but like actually in a store face to face, you know, and they were under 30. And then there were some other ones that just moved to Tucson and ran into them and started chatting and all. And they said, oh, I know who you are. I voted for you. And they've been here 2 months.
Look at that.
So I was, you know, that was pretty cool. And some young people that actually they were, you know, up on the issues and ran into them at, you know, one of the big box stores. And they voted for me already. And, you know, I hadn't met them before. I hadn't had engaged them in any way. So that was cool. And that's happening a lot. I have my cars wrapped. So when I'm on the street, you know, it's kind of like being in a parade. You wave. You wave. And it's pretty cool, you know. And, you know, some interesting interaction happens on the road sometimes at the red lights.
Anyone stealing your signs out there?
Yeah, two people have been arrested.
Oh, were they stealing your signs?
Yeah.
We didn't know whose signs they were. All right.
Huh. Well, no, they weren't just mine. There were three other candidates also on the first arrest. On the second one, I don't know how many, because one of the other candidates picked up a couple of my signs and got them to me. But law enforcement was out there, and they found them. They picked them up.
I had to text Hicks yesterday so I'm on Craycroft and 22nd. I was heading to my CPA at Desert Rose Tax, right? And what happened was I saw a homeless guy walking across the street with a Hicks sign in his. I'm like, oh, maybe he's going to be promoting Mike. And then on the other side, he said, "Give me money," that he wrote on the back of the Hicks sign. So I texted Hicks. I said, "There's a guy with a Hicks sign waving it around. It's just the wrong side."
He should turn it around, right?
I thought he was. This guy was just saying, "Man, Hicks is for me," right? And he was begging for money on the other side. So,
yeah. Well, no, that hasn't happened. There was just, you know, a couple people that didn't want anyone's sign out there, and they were pulling them up. But that's a shame, you know, because this is what liberty looks like. This is what freedom looks like. And, you know, it's just disrespectful. Everybody has the right to run if they want to and raise money to do so, et cetera.
So what is the Mom Montgomery campaign going to do this weekend to try to convince more people to vote for you?
Well, like I said, I've got the mailer going out. It's an 8-page, and it's a newspaper, and it should be give them a little entertainment and insight to, you know, what I do and what I'm about.
So you're mailing out a little kind of fun 8-page newspaper about your candidacy?
That's right.
Wow. And when you first said newspaper, I'm like, oh, are you advertising in the newspaper? And now you're saying,
no,
you're doing, well, that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's, you know, like a tabloid looking. It's called the Tucsonan.
All right. Well,
good for you.
Yeah, I got a crossword puzzle in it and everything.
Look at you. Look at you. That's
fun.
And
a little recipe and the whole bit.
What's the recipe for? This is Food Friday.
Chiles rellenos.
Yay.
And whose recipe is this?
Mine and my husband's.
Nice. Very nice.
I mean, who doesn't like chiles rellenos?
Probably unfeeling people who like cats like Ed Alexander. So
I love chili rellenos and cats. Almost in that order, yes.
You know? Yeah, my parents are from Mexico, so how could I not?
And my last question for you today is, tell me about the name Gummery. Where does that come from? It's such a unique last name.
Yeah, that's my husband's name.
Is it like, so it feels like, it feels like, it feels Cajun to me or something like that?
Actually, it's from Flanders originally.
Oh, okay.
I know there's a little Bavarian in there, but it's from Flanders. It's pronounced in different ways in Europe, but Gummery's good, like munt, but without the munt.
Gotcha. All right. I got it. All right. Well, it's always great talking to you. Good luck in the race. If you want to help out Mabel, you know, volunteer, help her do, support her, go to Mabel, and that's MABELLE, number4LD10.com.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much.
And
we'll be walking. We need to do some more walks. It's getting really close. We're down to the wire now. almost at the finish line. So,
well, I can't wait to see this newspaper thing. I'm fascinated.
Oh, okay. Well, probably get one in the mail.
All right. Well, good luck and keep the good work up.
Will do. Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Ma Bell Gummery.
All right.
Mabel4LD10.com. So one of the races that I was mildly interested in was the Republican primary for District 1 Pima County Supervisor. That was one we had a little bit of an eyeball on. And one of my favorite candidates in the world was Rhonda Pena. She was the wolf in sheep's clothing. Right? Worked on the Valadez campaign twice as the campaign treasurer. Husband tied to the hip with the machine.
I've been a Republican forever.
I've been a lifelong Republican. And of course, what we're finding out is that she actually has done nothing to help Republicans since she lost.
Nothing.
Oh, are we surprised like that by that? No, we are not. But what I wanted to find out is, how much money did Rhonda blow to come in third out of fourth? That's what I wanted to know. Well, she...
had a lot of big backers.
We took a look at her last campaign finance form. And there's a few late last minute... Of course, she got to get $2,000 from David Goldstein at Diamond Ventures.
See.
Help keep Pima crappy. Thank you very much. Who else we got here? Ken Goodman. Oh, and then, Godleski from Saba. $100. Shame on you, Dave. So anyway, and then a lot of her money went to Round Table Strategies, a guy out of Phoenix. I want to see how much that guy did pretty well for himself. She spent a lot of money on that kind of stuff, on her consultants. And what else do we got here? Let's see. Social media, that's fine, whatever. Okay, so, but Roundtable Strategy, and then Bilstein Consulting. Oh, that was on signs out of Chandler, $2,500. But the number that Rhonda came up with that she blew, so is coming down to $117,000. She blew six figures to come in third. And, you know, I know a lot of people think that probably that robocall that I did with Bruce Ash kind of hurt her. And, I would agree. You know, and people are like, why are you so pissed off at Rhonda? Because she wasn't the real deal. You know, and I knew too much that she was not going to be that independent voice that she kept on saying. Just like Rex, there's very little difference between Rex Scott and Rhonda Pena. That's where we're at. And so we got rid of one Rex Scott, and I got to see if we can, help Steve defeat the other Rex Scott. So when we come back on 10:30, The Voice, local news and talk. This hour, Wake Up Tucson, brought to you by Cabco AZ, Central Arizona Block. We have a little story from a local news about Tucson's crime statistics. I'm sure it'll all work out in the end. Wake up, autograph, turn up that radio, Ed. Let's go. Actually, I'm going to save the crime report for McCluskey when he gets here.
Okay.
Judge Napolitano, which a lot of us know from Fox News, of course, and he was he's a retired judge himself, I believe, federal judge. He wrote a op-ed in the Washington Times called "What If We Just Ignored the Government?"
Ah, please.
I'm going to see if I can get this out in 7 minutes here. Okay. What if we all start a return to normal life now that the government says the worst of the pandemic is behind us? What if we all made conscious choices to move about as before or to stay sheltered based on our own exercise of our own informed free wills and not the basis of government edicts? What if each of us decides if it's healthier to breathe in fresh air from outside or recycled air from under a mask? What if massive numbers of us make these decisions on our own? What if the governor's edicts don't really carry the force of law? What if governors, and they just said that the Gretchen in Michigan, that her edict was an overreach, and Captain Nunchucks, Brinovich, just came out that said Doug's stuff has been an overreach. Back to Napolitano. What if governors have assumed the power to tell us how to live from either out of thin air or from unconstitutional and outdated state laws? What if it is profoundly unconstitutional for a state legislature to give lawmaking powers to a governor? What if, when that happens, all the governor's edicts based on an attempted passage of power are null and void? What if we simply behave in a manner that shows we understand that these edicts are unlawful? What if high school and college athletes played their fall sports without regard to gubernatorial edicts? What if public school superintendents, college, and university professors opened up outdoor venues for folks to decide whether or not they want to stay home and come out to watch a football game or a soccer match? What if the police, many of those who have school and college-age children, cheer on the athletes and join the observers at these games? What if they do so notwithstanding any commands from their superiors because the commands are unlawful and they know it to be unlawful to obey an unlawful command? What if restaurants served their full complement of customers and folks became so happy that restaurants again were jammed? What if restaurant owners and customers made these choices on their own? What if small businesses borrowed money from banks, flush with cash because interest rates are so artificially low, and to use those funds to restart their businesses? And the banks are not giving out money to small businesses right now. What if customers of those businesses chose to patronize them? What if shopping malls reopened and permitted folks to walk wherever their fancy took them? What if fire and police and EMS and healthcare workers all join in a mass exposition of personal liberty in our once free society? What if the governors who have restrained us lose so much support that only folks they have frightened to death listen to them? What if the resurgence of freedom uplifts our spirits, reunites us as a nation, as a step forward toward the realization of our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness? What if Thomas Jefferson wrote, as Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence, our rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are inalienable? And what if an inalienable right can only be taken away in a free society for violating someone else's right and only after the conviction of a fair jury trial? What if inalienable rights are integral to each person's humanity? What if the whole purpose of an independent judiciary is to be anti-democratic? What if its purpose to preserve liberty, property, and the pursuit of happiness of those whom government targets because it hates or fears them? This is a long one. Hold on, I gotta get to the end. I'm going to run out of time. What if we ignore the government at our peril? What if then the government tramples our rights, we alter or abolish it? What if the time to do this is coming? What if that time is here? What if, as Jefferson wrote, when people fear the government, there is tyranny? But when the government fears the people, there is liberty. Let's sneak in Carl real quick. Carl, what's going on, sir?
Well, okay, I quite agree with what the judge is saying, but you're going to have these individuals that are going to go along with the laws regardless of what other people want to do.
Right.
My lungs are compromised. I tried to go into Golden Corral down on Thornydale yesterday, and the guy wouldn't let me in unless I had a mask. And I explained to him that Pima County does have an exception for medical exception, and he wouldn't budge. You have to have a mask or you can't come in. And so I walked out. Now, I have not had problems with other places other than Bookman's. They're being the same way about it. But the grocery stores and other restaurants and so forth, I just tell them my lungs are compromised, and they don't have an issue with letting me in, and I don't have to wear a mask.
It's going to take people to – there's going to come a point in time where everyone – a good portion of the population has to stop playing along. Stop wearing your mask. You could be respectful. You know, when that CDC thing came out from that report out of July that said that 85% of people who either always wore the mask or often wore the mask made up 85% of the corona cases, right? Right?
Yeah.
It's because it's a false sense of security, right? I have people that come up to me at a supermarket and they come 3 inches from my face. I don't want that before corona. You guys don't need to be 3 inches from my face. So it's going to take civil disobedience.
Well, I don't know if that's going to happen because so many people have become nothing but sheep about this sort of thing. You take a look at the schools and, you know, the kids are, they want to wear the mask.
It's frightening, that part of it. You're correct. Have a good day. Sean McCluskey coming up next.